Check. 1-2, 1-2. Are you there, Eric?
I am, but I don't know because the
phone's off.
Nobody had a cell phone when I joined the Navy. Drug dealers and business people with suitcases with a handset attached to them. Those are the only people who had cell phones in my day. But get off my lawn.
Welcome back to the Smoke Deck. I am Phil Briggs, sitting across from the bearded
Eric Dame, and I am much more than a beard. I'm a glorious human being. Voted World's Sexiest Man 3 years running.
By no one.
By me. I'm the only one that matters.
Lots of cool stuff on the Smoke Deck today to get to. In fact, we're going to talk a little bit about VA Secretary Shulkin later.
Uh-huh.
We are going to talk about a drunk SEAL later. Yeah.
Not at SeaWorld, one of the military varieties. The SEALs at SeaWorld, little known fact, they're always drunk. If you watch the documentary Blackfish, that's the thing that I was surprised more people didn't focus on is the amount of drinking that goes on with the SEALs and Walrus.
That Walrus likes to party, I've
heard. Oh, yeah. No, you could look at him and tell. Come on.
And, of course, our leadoff story, kind of in keeping with this intoxicatingly good theme we have.
Right.
Johnny Walker Black Label.
Right. One of Johnny Walker's many types of scotch. Of course, the main ones that everybody knows, red, black, and blue.
I think it's safe to say that Johnny Walker,
yeah,
when you hear the term, doesn't it kind of conjure up images of like a ornate cocktail lounge, maybe some light jazz music, smoking and a tinkling crystal glass, or, you know, scotch on the rocks and old men with white hair making big, important decisions.
Black Label to me conjures up like a biker bar and people sitting there drinking Black Label because they've graduated from red, but they're not quite to gold, green, or blue.
Oh, well, it's about to change, and that is why I found the story amusing and interesting. Johnny Walker is now going to change from the traditional male logo that we see, which is known as the Striding Man. The Jane Walker icon will debut on special edition offerings of their award-winning Black Label blend. The Jane Walker edition will be available to whiskey fans nationwide this month to coincide with Women's History Month and International Women's Day celebration.
When you said they were going to change it, I was thinking like, oh no, Johnny Walker is going to get into the chocolate-based soft drink industry and take on Yoo-hoo. They're not changing anything but the label. I mean, that's essentially all it is. The whiskey itself, they're not changing the blend for Black Label, right? They're just putting a lady on the label.
Yep. Jane Walker is, of course, still wearing the top hat and the top coat and walking briskly with a cane in her hand, but it is a uniquely feminine looking label. You can see her long hair and her shapely figure there. And
if people can see your hands moving, that's the sign of a true creep. The guy who's like a shapely lady and makes that hourglass figure.
What? Ladylike.
There will be those out there who will say, absolutely not. You take your lady parts off of my label for my whiskey, which, unless you pick it up and take a sip and it tastes like an apple teeny, who cares what's on the label? But in society these days, it's all about labels, isn't it, Phil?
It is all about labels. It's all about packaging. It's all about taking advantage of like the trends and, both fashion and merchandising.
Mm-hmm.
This I was very interested in because when I reached out to the folks at Johnny Walker North America, I was able to get the brand rep there, the VP, Stephanie Jacoby.
A woman. Now I think we know where this came from. The ladies took over Johnny Walker and they decided, well, we're going to be on the labels now. And that's fine because you know what? Again, same product inside the bottle.
Right. Well, that was my first question. Are they trying to make this like the gateway drug to get women into scotch drinking now? But apparently none of that's going on. But to start, she told me a little history that I didn't realize. Johnny Walker has, there are women involved in the very beginnings of Johnny Walker.
Was there an actual Jane Walker, Phil?
Well, let's get into that real quick. 1893, John Walker and Sons purchased the Cardhu Distillery from Elizabeth Cumming. And Cardhu is one of the single malts that comprises the recipe for Johnny Walker Black Label.
I'm fairly certain all of your pronunciations were probably wrong. There's a Scotsman out there like, hey, Carthew, who let this man in front of a microphone? It's destroying everything about our culture.
John Walker walked into Elizabeth Cummings' farm and said, I want to bounce up and get a boost.
That was more Irish than Scottish.
It's a Scottish phrase, though. Bounce up and get a boost. Anyways, Elizabeth Walker, the wife, founder of John Walker, worked alongside John and their son Alexander in the original Walker grocery shop and was fundamental to supporting the creation of their own blended whiskey. Mm. Today, the brand has 12 expert blenders, five of whom are women.
Ooh. I mean, that's when you talk about equality, that's pretty equal right there.
Yeah, yeah. And fascinating to know that, you know, this original distillery that they purchased back in the late 1800s was integral to the actual making of the recipe that became what we now call Johnny Walker Black. So yeah. Very cool. I asked if this was a reaction to the Me Too movement, you know, because it's taken on such strength and it's given such, you know, empowerment and, right. and really, you know, put a light on an issue that people do need to be talking about. And while she said that this isn't necessarily a direct response to that,
yeah.
I thought this was interesting and good to hear. She's like, important conversations around gender need to be at the forefront of culture, and we want to contribute to the strong sense of women optimism.
Okay.
And I liked how she said that, you know, because I mean, here we're not necessarily talking about trying to take advantage of a trend. We're not jumping on and getting under the hood and getting right. into the specifics of Me Too and sexual improprieties. Rather, they just want positive stuff about women out there and thought, what a good time to maybe rebrand the packaging of this.
Right.
And, right. you know, kind of not necessarily get in the same lane, but be growing in the same direction.
I wonder if they fear the people out there who will get offended that, as you were just demonstrating the curviness of the figure, like, how dare you? And how dare you assume the gender that's on that label? That may be a transgendered female, a transgendered male. Why couldn't it just be an amorphous blob with no curves wearing a top hat? Why couldn't it be something like on the TV show Community, the Greendale Community College human being that has no discernible race, gender, or features? Because there are people out there who will look at things that way, and there are going to be, it's kind of like a lose-lose situation, just because there's going to be loud people out there, loud people who say, get your women off my bottle of scotch. That's not okay, man.
That's only going to happen after about the fourth or fifth Johnny Walker Black. And then but at that time, if they're loud enough, the bar, you know, the bartender reserves the right to actually cut them off.
And depending on how strong it is, they may actually be talking to Jane Walker and angry at her for rejecting their advances and being standoffish and cold.
I'm more worried about the guys that are really getting into it. You know, yeah. She's hot. Look at her. That girl's so hot.
I mean, it's a silly thing.
You're making out with the bottle, please.
I've never cared about labels or like the rebranding. Like, oh, we're rebranding our product. Oh, is it the same product? Yeah. But people are gullible and they'll think a new product, a new outside wrapper will mean that it's something somehow better and new. But it's always the same. New Coke. That was something where they actually changed it.
Well, right.
And it stunk. Nobody liked it.
Now, I'm glad you bring that up because that was one of my questions too. You know, look, we've seen this with other brands. We've seen Zima. We've seen Limerita. Zima. We've seen the entire wine cooler category back in the day did target, you know, the female palate. I mean, the sweeter flavors.
It's still out there. Bartles and James and all those. They're still out there.
Yeah. Cheer beers is what my wife and I call them. Yeah.
They're juice. Like, it's like juice with alcohol in it.
So I said, you know, is that what you guys are doing here? She says, we want to be clear. This is not a new product made for women. Taste buds have no gender. The whiskey in the bottle, Jane Walker, is still Johnny Walker Black Label Blend, which is like a core mark to their whole brands and that they've been doing for, you know, a couple hundred years. And they think that, you know, doesn't matter what you are, man, woman, other, you will enjoy this if you like Johnny Walker Black because the recipe ain't changed.
Yeah. If you like something, you're going to enjoy it. But she said something interesting in there, which I'm not a biologist, and I'm going to guess she's not either, about, you know, taste buds have no gender. That's an interesting thing. And think about it. Men and women tend to enjoy different things. Women tend to enjoy the fruitier drink. Don't like the strong taste of alcohol. Not all women. I understand, yes. But most don't enjoy the stronger straight liquor, scotch, vodka by itself. They right. they prefer the appletini. The whole martini with fruit flavoring kind of came around aimed at attracting a female audience and was very successful with that. So I don't know if that's 100% true.
I just don't think we can talk about this anymore without actually drinking some. So I'm going to cut this segment off so we can crack this bottle and get to doing some damn research. Okay, from Scotch Whiskey with Lady Parts on the Bottle, we go to a story about a proud Navy SEAL who may have had a little bit too much of the bottle.
That sounds like it.
Although I don't know if we can trust this story, Eric, because it's from TMZ. And frankly,
TMZ is usually fairly reputable, Phil. I'm going to go out on a limb and say it. Have they been wrong before? Yeah, but it's fairly rare. They're usually right about a lot of stuff. They've even branched into sports and been right about it.
The only thing I like about TMZ is, like, if somebody's doing something weird, strange, drunk, or inappropriate,
they're going to find it.
TMZ seems to, like, be able to pop out of a bush at the right time. Yeah. Like, you know, they won't for any other real news story, but if it involves, you know, Lindsay Lohan or Charlie Sheen drunk crossing the street, oh, they're there.
You'll be alone in your basement, no windows, no nothing, and then video will come out and you'll be like, how the hell did they get in there?
Some long-haired server looking kid in your backyard. Hey brah, got the video. Okay, well, let's get to this episode. It says that the ex-Navy SEAL who killed Osama bin Laden is kicked off a plane for being drunk and rude to the flight crew. We begin here with saying Robert O'Neill, 41 years old, is reported to have been escorted off an American Airlines flight, but not arrested. O'Neill, of course, member of the Brave SEAL Team 6 that was on that mission where they killed Osama bin Laden. And as you mentioned, O'Neill,
he's the trigger man.
Yeah.
That's what he says. And I don't believe there's anybody that's really contradicted that from the group. But yeah, he's the one who actually was the man who fired the shots that killed Osama bin Laden.
Right on. So. Well, allegedly, he called an airline employee a vile name.
Oh.
Before passing out.
Oh.
All right. Not sure where the harm is there. I believe he's also speaking at the CPAC conference in Washington, D.C. earlier before he got on the plane, which makes that political conference sound a hell of a lot more fun, if you ask me. Apparently. Bartenders have a liberal pour. Everything else is conservative. Just the liberal pour there. And then I guess when it got to where it's going, I'm assuming this is in Nashville, it was reported that he had been escorted off the plane, but was not arrested.
And then booked onto a later flight.
And then booked onto a later flight so he could maybe, you know,
I guess sober up, or was this, you know, in these cases, you never know. I mean, he may have said something. He may have just called somebody the B word or something like that, which that's a vile slur. Well, yeah, it's unfortunate and he shouldn't have done that. We don't know what the vile name that he used was for right. calling this this flight attendant steward or stewardess. We do not know that either. Right. We have no idea what it was that got him thrown off. I mean, they're. Someone's vile name is another person's, you know, way nickname. That they talk to their friend. Like,
right. It's social greeting, right?
There are. I know people with nicknames that would make your grandmother drop dead or spin over in her grave, whatever the case may be. Because, you know, I'm a sailor, man. That's kind of what we do.
I mean, just in this office, just in this last week alone, you've called me B. You've called me D. And, you know.
Well. Those are accurate. I mean, that's the thing. Those aren't nicknames. Those are true factual statements about you.
You know, I turned around every time you said them too. Yeah. I knew exactly who you were talking to.
I was talking about. You were the only one in here who was going to turn around if I yell out, "Hey, come back over here."
I know this is a podcast, but I have to beep out that last shit because you can't even say that here. I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah, but you just swore in saying that you were going to beep out the last thing.
I did.
Dummy.
Okay. Anyways, first, before we even get into the story, let's just end and say that there was literally two sentences about this event and this guy being drunk on a plane and yeah. O'Neill maybe saying a bad word. Literally, Eric, the entire rest of this, the next 70 words that they decided to put together
yeah.
were all about stuff that he had done in 2016, 2015. Like, literally, there wasn't even enough to make this a story other yeah. than the fact that, like, One airline attendant said that he got called or said they were called a bad name and he was asked to get off the flight when it landed in Nashville. Right. Other than that, this isn't a story.
The DUI arrest that they talk about, too. Now, we don't have all the details on it, but they say he was asleep in his car. Police showed up and arrested him for DUI. Now,
but that's years ago.
But there's 2 years ago. But still, there's also two different ways that happens. One way, I'm okay with them arresting people and giving them a DUI. If you are in your car on the road and fall asleep at a red light and you're just sitting there for, you know, however long and you're drunk and they get you, that fantastic. That's driving under the influence. But if you're drunk and you're like, man, I shouldn't be driving, I better sleep this off, and you go to sleep in your car in like a parking lot where you're no danger to anyone, they can still arrest you in some places for DUI.
Yeah,
let them sleep. It's a weird story, and it's one of those things where, you know, I've seen some people like, you know what? If I saw Rob O'Neill or anybody from that SEAL Team 6 on there, I'd offer him more drinks and just get him going even more and maybe help him sleep a little better. Because these are people who've seen some horrible things in their lives.
Yeah, amen. I mean, providing he's not breaking any laws or doing anything to physically endanger somebody, shame on you, American Airlines. Like, this guy, even overserved, still deserves a free drink on your airline, okay? In fact, I'd say he as, you know, with his training and background, even intoxicated, is qualified to do almost everything on that plane except fly it.
Well, and you don't know, he may be a pilot. He's from like Montana. A lot of people out there can fly because sometimes you got to get in a plane just to go to the grocery store in parts of Montana. You know, he could have just said, like, if a stewardess or flight attendant or whatever comes over and is like, oh, sir, that bag, you can't put that under your chair. You got to put it up top. And he just said, like, you know, you or something like
right,
that.
Right.
That's effing stupid. Oh, he said vile words. And at this point, with airline security as tight as it is, they have carte blanche to remove people from planes. I mean, we've seen how many times over the last few years when people are removed from a plane and it goes viral because, well, there was like that.
That doctor they took.
Well, disbarred doctor, not disbarred, but unlicensed.
Rob O'Neill, man, I got to say, shame on you, American Airlines. Drunk or not, Rob O'Neill probably makes a better air marshal than anyone on that plane sober. Okay. I mean, if some stuff goes down, I'll take a drunk Rob O'Neill defending my honor. Right.
Yeah. I think that he would probably be able to do that. His fire may not be as accurate, certainly, but the whole issue is, again, we don't have enough to go on. So we can say shame on American Airlines, but if he was walking around throwing C-bombs and everything at everybody and just being really belligerent and everything like that, then I can totally understand it. But if it was just like, I don't want to put my effing bag in the overhead, you put it there, stupid. If that's all he did, well, okay, I guess he's being a jerk, but you don't need to throw him off the plane. And the police didn't arrest him, so, you know, obviously didn't get over into the criminal aspect of anything, so.
I'll say again, shame on you, American Airlines, Rob O'Neill, drunk or sober, the only guy that doesn't need the nuts you pass out.
You're just scared he's going to come after you if you say anything bad about him, because the last guy he came after, tall gentleman from Saudi Arabia, and didn't work out very well for him. So Phil's thinking ahead a couple steps down the road.
Well, shame on you, American Airlines, Rob O'Neill, drunk or sober, the only person I would listen to with the safety briefing, okay? When the mask comes out of the, you know, overhead and, you know, put it over your mouth and nose and the alcohol will begin flowing. I mean, the oxygen will begin flowing.
Right. So much oxygen that it actually makes you like high. You know, that's what that's for.
Right.
To help you breathe, but also to make you like not worry about the fact that you're on a plane that's going down, because I don't know what's more horrifying than that. There's not much than if you're on a plane. You ever think about that? And this is dark for such a lighthearted podcast as this one. Like TWA Flight 800, when I heard that plane broke in half and the people in the back section of it or the front section of it, basically the people in the back section of it were looking out into the air. And at that moment you realize, oh no, oh, I'm going to die. And they were apparently alive for a period of time before blacking out. And if they had those oxygen masks on, if they were able to put that on, then that would have kept them alive. Although a little bit more happy and accepting of their fate for the 20 seconds, 30 seconds or whatever it took to crash. But yeah, sleep tight. You could be in an airplane that breaks in half. That's horrifying, dude.
Jesus, you're dark.
Well,
Well, do you know how that would not have happened?
How's that?
If they had drunk or sober Rob O'Neill on that flight, he would have held the flight together with hooking his feet on one side and his arms on the other, just literally holding the plane's fuselage together.
Too soon, Phil. TWA Flight 800 was only what was that, 22 years ago, something like that, 96? When was it?
I don't know.
Joking about, oh, it's horrible. I guess the point I'm making is that Rob O'Neill being drunk and calling somebody a name on an airplane is not the worst thing that can possibly happen on an airplane.
Right. You can follow more of my jokes at hashtag shame on you, American Airlines.
Oh, that'll be a popular one. That'll be trending before you know it.
I think they have the audacity to call themselves American Airlines. Wouldn't even be flying planes right now if it weren't for SEAL Team 6. Show your respect! Okay, let's wind things down with a little bit of talk about current events and the Secretary of Veterans Affairs, Dr. David Shulkin, in the news.
Yeah, this has been an ongoing thing. And of course, I host The Morning Briefing, a live radio program also streamed at ConnectingVets.com every morning from 7 to 8:30 Eastern Time and then replaying 7 to 8:30 Pacific.
Okay,
we Secretary Shulkin. Yeah, I know you get it. You shut up. I'm allowed to promote my things when I'm sitting here. The Secretary Shulkin's been involved in a bit of a scandal, Phil, going on over at the VA.
Right.
And the gist of it is, in July of 2017, he went on a trip to Europe. Specifically, England is what's in question, the trip to England. His wife came with him. And because it was not an official, he was there as like an official guest and not being honored, like he wasn't a guest of mine. There's specific rules on when you're allowed to bring your spouse with you on the government dime. This trip did not qualify. However,
right.
An investigator general report, IG report on the issue says that, oh yeah, the government paid for Secretary Shulkin's wife to go over there. Oh, and then Secretary Shulkin received the gift of tickets to Wimbledon, which were worth a couple $1,000s. When you work at the VA, whether you're the secretary or not, you're not allowed to receive gifts valued over like $20 or $25. So he was significantly past that limit. And then afterwards, his chief of staff was accused of trying to doctor an email to create a fake event saying that Secretary Shulkin was being honored as something, and that would make it a trip where his wife was allowed to fly on the $4,000. And then to make it worse from that, Secretary Shulkin had previously told the VSOs like AMVETS, the Legion, and the VFW, no, I paid for those tickets, and I did not receive the gift of Wimbledon. I paid for those tickets, too. The IG report proved that that was, in fact, not the case. Mm. The chief of staff with the email claimed that they were hacked. Okay, so you were hacked. Well, now we found out just in the past couple days, a new IG investigation found no evidence of hacking going on. That chief of staff has resigned. It just keeps expanding and getting bigger and bigger.
It's like when you lie about where you were to your parents and then the story gets bigger and bigger and bigger and more elaborate when you're just basically digging your own hole. Like, you should just stop lying.
And, when you're like, I was at a movie. What movie was it? Who were you with? Bill Murray. You were at the movies with Bill Murray? Yeah.
Yeah,
he had juji fruits. Bill Murray likes juji fruits, huh? Sure does. Juji fruits and Diet Sprite. Isn't that weird? And you just keep going. And then, you know, now we got the internet. So that might have worked back in the day. But now your parents will Google it and be like, hey, Bill Murray was at a golf tournament in California yesterday. What are you talking about?
Now, funnier yet, I was at a press conference earlier this week and spoke with Dr. Shulkin. And, you know, I didn't bring this up, but the other reporters from like AP and some of the other news bureaus were, in fact, talking about it.
Right.
And he started in on this explanation, and I only recorded a part of it, but I'll drop some of it right here. He's talking about he thought he was spoofed or he thought he was whaled. Let me just play the clip real quick.
So there's no breach of patient information. There's no concerns there. But there are people trying to pose as some of us to try to confuse people. But fortunately, our systems are picking this up. I think my understanding today is that hacking would not be the correct term. Spoofing would be the correct term.
I'm sitting there with one of the other reporters, and I just couldn't help but think, like, spoofing, wailing. Are you just reading words you heard your kids say? Like, are you sure you weren't catfished?
Like Anchorman? Lamp. I love lamp.
It's just
an IG report said that there were some incidents of spoofing that they found, but it was on the chief of staff's non-VA Gmail account, and it was not related to this either. It wasn't related to this issue. It was related to some other things. So they did say, like, okay, well, this happened just because this happened on your personal Gmail account. 3 months ago on something else and it didn't happen. So anyway, the point I want to bring up to you, Phil, is this.
Right.
As you said, Secretary Shulkin is also Dr. Shulkin, renowned physician, still practices and sees patients as a physician at the VA. He also ran medical facilities and is now the secretary of the VA. All three of those things pay quite handsomely. Mm-hmm. And Secretary Shulkin is, he's not in his 20s or 30s anymore. I don't know exactly how old he is, but he's been around in the medical profession for decades. So, you know, medical school bills, that's all paid off at this point. He's been paid rather well. $4,000 is what those tickets cost. I could afford a $4,000 plane ticket right now if I had to.
If you had to put it on your credit card, you could do it, right?
I put it on my credit card, and I could pay it off. If I had to, I could do that. I'd rather not, because it's not like that would leave me a lot of wiggle room with my cash flow.
No, but
right
you're
now.
Saying but if you're in his income bracket, $4,000 is chump change.
It's nothing, dude.
It's, you know, it blows your mind because you're just thinking, come on, man. And I really felt like it was an opportunity missed because while everybody was giving him all these like long-winded questions like, are you concerned about the subversive elements within your administration and are there forces working at play right now to maybe go and seat you as the VA secretary?
I love all these accents that you're doing today.
It was my reporter accent. Yeah. But they're asking all these like journalistic questions with very long subjects and predicates there. And I just wanted to be the guy that would have just stopped and been like, it's Secretary Phil, connectingvets.com, one follow-up question. Seriously, bro, what the f*** were you thinking? Like, come on, man. You know you got $4,000.
And then,
why you gotta lie about the Wimbledon tickets? Ooh, we like tennis.
You'd be removed from the airplane just like because bringing it back. You know, here's the thing, and I think this is the hope, and the VSOs have come out and said Secretary Shulkin shouldn't resign. He's the right guy for the job. It sounds like he's got the backing of them, the president. Sounds like he's gonna be there for a while. The staff, here's in all seriousness, the staff more than likely arrange the travel because when you get to that level, you have people that handle those things. You don't handle those and may very well have told him like, no, we're charging this to your personal account. Everything's on the up and up. Didn't tell him what was going on or misled him or flat out lied to him. And then he got caught there. There's also reports of all sorts of infighting over there. So someone may have intentionally told him that he paid for it.
So they can maybe take his job or get him fired or some stuff like that.
I mean, because honestly, when you make that much money over the span of your career, I don't know how much Secretary of the VA gets paid. I'm sure it's public knowledge. We can find out.
Yeah, but a couple hundred thousand probably or something
like that. You know, at least you would think at least six figures. But either way, he's lived in a profession for so long that he's got a bank account that's substantially heftier than mine, I would say.
Amen.
It doesn't make sense for him to do this unless he's like a kleptomaniac, which, boy, that would be hilarious. I'm sorry. It would be awful, but it would be hilarious if like Secretary Shulkin, you start finding out like they do real research and they find like surveillance videos and he's like stealing packs of gum from CVS every day. And
He's leaving hotels with like robes and sheets and pillows.
But barring the possibility that the Secretary of the VA is an uncontrollable kleptomaniac and who just cannot stop stealing and taking things, I think the most likely thing that happened here is the staff did him dirty. Who's ultimately responsible for that staff? It's him.
Right.
So, you know, sometimes a big guy has to take the fall. In this case, it doesn't look like he's going to, but, you know, there's still a lot of questions about this whole thing. And we'll see, you know, if someone whale spoofs him next time, they may find out some information. If he gets whale spoof hacked, then we'll definitely know something's
up. Spoofed. I was raw dogged.
Oh, geez, Phil. Oh, boy. Ugh, this went in a dark direction.
Incidentally, whaling is a thing. I'll tell you about that when we shut the mics off. But
yeah, they the Japanese still do it. They say for science, but really it's to provide whale meat to a small segment of the population.
I know we did this in search of amorous relations when I was in college.
Oh, with whales? That's kind of creepy, but you know, you do you, Philbert.
You could call it that. All right. We've learned that hashtag shame on you, American Airlines. Rob O'Neill, salute to you. Cheers, sir. And Jane Walker. I salute Jane Walker and all that is blended Scotch whiskey. Thank you for your service.
Time to get back to work. Chief's going to come looking for us soon. Off the smoke deck. Let's go.
All right. Smoke deck is officially clear.